Save Me Thousands is brought to you in part by RP Funding. RP Funding, Inc. is licensed and can offer loans in Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, Louisiana, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West Virginia, and is also licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance and by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities. Office is located at 500 Winterly Place, Suite 300, Maitland, Florida, 32751. Telephone 321-397-4420. RP Funding's nationwide mortgage licensing system ID number is 70168, Equal Housing Opportunity, and Robert Palmer's NMLS ID number is 76197.
Welcome back, and yes, we are Saving Thousands with Robert Palmer, right here on the Saving Thousands Radio Network.
And now let me tell you, we creditors are not stupid. Mortgage companies are not stupid. Credit card companies are not stupid. And so I know in particular in the mortgage business, if you have accounts that are in dispute, we have to have you undispute them and rescore your credit before closing. So let me walk you through what can be a really ugly scenario. So you have a 580 credit score because you have a bunch of collections and credit cards with late payments. But then you have a car loan and a couple of credit cards that were perfect. And so you have a really low score. And so you go to one of these credit repair companies and they dispute everything on your credit except for the car loan that was never late and the credit cards that were never late and that aren't maxed out. Mm-hmm. And they dispute everything. And it all gets taken out of your credit score, and they rescore you, and now you have a 750. And you're like, oh, man, I am a credit god. I have a 750. I'm going to buy a house. So you go call the local mortgage guy, and you call one where they don't have any type of oversight or validation on their pre-approval process. And the loan officer, he's sitting home in his boxer shorts eating Cheetos, and the phone rings, and he answers it, and he pulls your credit report. And all he sees is your score is 750, and he doesn't even scroll down to look at your credit because he can't be bothered with details like that, right? And this is the type of stuff an underwriter would do. They would scroll down and look. The sales guy, he's not going to look. He's going to say, 750, hallelujah, I got me a winner, and he's going to issue you a pre-approval.
Right.
And you're going to go get a house under contract, and you're going to come back in, and then the file's going to go to underwriting. The underwriter's going to say, oh, well, per Fannie Mae guideline number 2798254, we have to undispute all of these accounts and rescore the file before we can close. Uh-oh. So now they go to you and say, hey, you have to undispute all these accounts. And you're like, what do you mean? And you go to your credit repair guy and you say, hey, we got to undispute all these accounts before I can close on my new house. Or maybe the 30 days, because at the end of 30 days, the dispute ends one way or the other.
Right.
So maybe it's just been long enough that 30 days naturally happens. And all the disputes go away. And guess what? All the stuff is still there. Because you still owed them the money, and they still cared enough, right? Now, some of the ones that you had paid off, they probably fell off, so that may help you a little bit. But the people you still owe money to, they are absolutely going to return an answer to stay on your credit, and your score is going to go back down to a 580. Guess what happens next? You get denied.
So you really don't need a credit repair company. All they're going to do is dispute everything on the credit report and take your money. It's best to pay off the delinquent accounts as soon as possible and close those things altogether. Robert, can you expand on rule number 12 and sort of walk us through what you would do in checking out a company before you do business with them?
So yesterday I was sitting in a board meeting, and so this reminded me that early in the radio shows, I mean 4 or 5 years ago,
way back,
one of the big things I used to encourage people to do was to check out the reviews and check out companies. And we haven't talked about that in a while. So I want to go over that. That's going to be our next rule, which is to, you know, to check out, check the references of companies you're going to do business with. You know, so if you are looking at, you know, getting into a new cell phone deal, if you're looking at getting a mortgage, if you're going to get a credit card, before you do that, I want you to check out the company, check their references. And so as I'm building the Saving Thousands credit card guide, we're doing that for you, right? We're going to check all these companies out. Mm-hmm. But the way we do this is we Google the name of the company or Yahoo it. What is that even a verb? See, Googling has become a verb. I don't know that Yahooing. Yahooing sounds like sitting on your couch eating Cheetos, drinking a Mountain Dew.
Up in the Ozarks.
Right? You're right. Yahooing. You're Yahooing. Look at this Yahoo over here. Whatever. Right. Yahooing. So we're going to go with Googling. So I want you to Google the company name followed by the word scam. Right? Google the company name followed by the word reviews. Google the company name followed by, let's see, we've got scam, reviews, and what's my other one, Rob? Scam, reviews, and complaints.
Complaints.
And complaints,
that was a big
right?
One.
And so what will happen is all of these, so when you just Google a company's name, you tend to get like the good stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, their stuff.
They kind of control what shows up then. But when you throw in complaints or reviews or scam, you tend to get a whole different set of stuff, right? And so this is stuff we need to check out. The other thing I think is important is Google the company name followed by BBB, right? So you can get their Better Business Bureau. You know, I think that the younger generation and a lot of people today, Rob, have kind of forgotten about the Better Business Bureau, but it's such a powerful resource, you know, to check out businesses because, you know, they take the complaints, they get involved, they help get those resolved. I mean, it's a great process. That's why I got involved on their board of directors because it's something I really believe in. And in the early days of RP funding, it was great for my business because when no one had heard of us yet, when we didn't have a brand yet, we used the BBB credibility to overcome a lot of people's skepticism. Oh, you have no fees? This sounds too good to be true. I've never heard of you. You know, are you in a, you know, are you in some foreign country and you're going to steal my credit card number, right? And we would say, hey, you know, check us out with the Better Business Bureau and you'll see. And so I think a lot of consumers get resolution to issues when they work with it. Because if you have a Better Business Bureau accredited business and they upset you and you complain, they are going to deal with it because they don't want to lose their being accredited with the Better Business Bureau. And then two, even if they're not a member, there's a lot of complaints and things you can see. There's been a couple companies locally where, you know, based on these complaints, consumers missed and were able to avoid scams. Things like some of the scammy timeshare resales going on there. Some of the scammy foreclosure defense stuff that was going on out there. So I think that's a good thing to Google as well. So that's going to be in our rule. We're gonna check their references, which means we're going to Google the company name followed by BBB for Better Business Bureau, or we can just go straight to the Better Business Bureau website and check them out. We're going to put the company name and scams, the company name and complaints, and the company name and reviews. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're going to check the references. And it's amazing how almost every entity out there, some stuff is going to show up, right? And what I would almost tell you is, if a company doesn't have something negative, be fishy. I mean, you know, like be concerned. Like maybe they haven't been in business long enough to acquire. Because look, you can't make everybody happy. Trust me, I try. I bend over backwards. We do so much with customer satisfaction reviews. You know, we ask for a customer's, you know, we ask for a rating at initial phone call. We ask for a rating at closing. We base bonuses on those. We track it and we slice and dice the data and I look for patterns and we still can't make everybody happy. It's just not possible. And so if a company doesn't have anything negative out there anywhere, then be nervous if that company really does any business or really even, it really even is legit and exists because everybody, I mean, I believe everybody should have some customer who wasn't just 100% happy, right? If you if you look at a company and there's 1,000 reviews and they're all 5-star, I'm just gonna, not possible. I mean, there is not, it's not possible. Because there are companies out there who will manufacture these reviews. This is another big thing. So they call it reputation management. That's their fancy word for, we're going to make up a bunch of fake reviews to make your company look better. So you got to watch out for that too. And so, you know, again, we've got to use our brain. We've got to use our reasoning skills as humans to figure out if something looks legit or not. But we've got to do this research. And you can tell. I mean, you know, what we're really looking for here when we're checking references is the slew of just ridiculous negative, right? I mean, just customer after customer who is complaining and upset and not getting resolution. You know, an F with the BBB because they've gotten so many complaints that they never answered. You know, these are the types of situations we're looking for when we're checking the references on businesses. Because, you know, if we're shopping around, but we're dealing with a scammy company, then that's not going to do us any good. You know, if we're waiting the 3 days, but at the end of the 3 days, we're going to go back and do business with a scammy company, that's not going to do us any good. So this new rule of checking the references is very important for my financial ninjas out there to make sure that we are not getting taken advantage of and that we are going to get the goods and services and the deal that we think there are.
So again, rule number 12 of the 15 Saving Thousands Rules to Success is essential to being empowered. Check out the reviews, complaints, and Better Business Bureau standings to better know a company's reputation going in before getting ripped off. And remember, if you have a bad experience or a good experience with a company, add your voice to the chorus of reviews. You know, there's a little known fact in the credit world that has to do with the day you actually pay your credit card bill is very, very important. Now, Robert, I can't believe this isn't posted on every account statement in huge, bold letters. This has got to be the best kept secret in finance.
Yeah, because what happens is whatever that when they mail you that statement, they've already reported that balance to the bureau. So what happened is I would have people that say, Robert, you know, I pay off my credit card every single month, yet the credit company says I owe whatever. Well, what happens is, you know, you go out and charge up $2,000, and then they mail you a statement. The day they mail you that statement, they tell the credit company that you owe $2,000, and that goes on your credit report. So then you receive the statement, you turn around and you mail them a check for $2,000 and pay it off. That zero balance never gets reported to the credit reporting agencies. And then by the time your statement comes out again, you've probably charged another $2,000, you know, or whatever it is, and this is a cycle. So what happens is if you can shift the day you pay to where you're paying right before the statement gets mailed to you instead of waiting until the due date, that's the way to make sure that a zero balance is reflected on your credit report, which has a big impact on credit scores. I would say balances to high credit, other than missing payments, okay, unless you've missed a payment recently, that's the absolute worst thing for your credit. If you go 30 days late, and this is important to understand, just getting a late fee, you know, going 10, 15 days late and paying a late fee does not affect your credit. That does not get reported to the credit bureaus, okay? The credit bureaus only take lates at 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and 120 days, and then 120 plus. Those are the categories they have. So if you go 30 days late on a credit, on a debt, if you're currently 30 days late on a debt, your credit score will absolutely tank. If you catch that up and put 6 months between you and that late, your credit score will jump up pretty good. As you put a year between you and late, your credit score jumps up even more. But the month you are late, and even worse if you are currently late, and then the month after you were late is when it has the absolute biggest impact on your credit score. And then on top of that, a 60-day late is more damaging than a 30-day late. So it goes up the scale in 30-day increments. So that's the absolute worst thing for your credit. That's going to have the biggest negative impact on your score. After that, the next biggest impact is your balances to credit limits. Okay, what the credit bureaus have figured out is that if all your credit cards are maxed out and you're out trying to get a new debt, you are a very high credit risk. Okay, if you have $5,000 worth of credit cards out there and they are sitting at $4,999, you have used every single penny of credit available to you. The credit bureaus feel this makes you a much higher credit risk, and that has a very, very negative impact on your credit score. Now, we don't know exactly what the breaks are, but we think it's somewhere around 70% utilization, 35% utilization, and then less than 10% utilization is where the breaks are. So again, using that $5,000 in debt, if you can get it down to $3,500 owed on $5,000 worth of cards, your score will improve. If you can get it down to $1,500 owed on $5,000 worth of credit cards, it's going to get even better. And then once you get down below $500, you're going to kind of hit that top tier. So we've seen people that have never had a late payment, but because their credit cards are maxed out, their credit score will be in the low 600s. And just by paying off a few $1,000s in credit cards and leaving them paid off for a reporting cycle, we've seen those credit scores jump up 100, 150 points to almost perfect. So again, the two biggest factors are putting distance between yourself and the late payments if you've had them, and then trying not to have any additional 30-day or greater late payments. And then two, keeping those credit card balances, the balance that gets reported to the credit bureau, which is the balance on your monthly statement, as low as possible relative to the credit limit on all of your cards. Now, that's assuming you have credit. Okay, on the flip side of that, if you don't have any positive credit, so if you've had some credit issues in the past and you have not reestablished any new credit, your credit score will not improve. You have to have debts that you're paying on time, and usually it's about 6 months. So when you first get a debt, it doesn't have a very big impact on your credit score. Once you've paid on time for 6 months, we see a pretty dramatic increase in credit score. So again, getting a few debts or taking the debts you have if they're still active and making 6 months of on-time payments will have a dramatic increase on that credit score, and then keeping those balances to credit limits as low as possible.
And that's where you hear some of these guys and they say, oh, I just run it up every month and then I just pay it off every month. But it's still showing a big balance at the closing date, right?
And that's the
key. Major balance.
And if you use one of these tools like MyFICO.com or one of the credit reporting tools, and this is another great thing we talked about in the show, and I had some people come up to me recently and say, you know, we never understood that concept, but it's what I call the FICO score, okay? So I think this is completely wrong, and this is how the industry works. If you go to Equifax or TransUnion or Experian's website and you sign up for their basic score watch service, okay, they sell you a credit score, but it is not the credit score that lenders use. Lenders use a credit score called FICO. FICO is owned and trademarked and patented by a company called Fair Isaac. Okay, Fair Isaac, this company developed the credit scoring technologies that all lenders require to be used for the decisions that we make. What happens is every time that Equifax or TransUnion or Experian provides you with a FICO score, they have to pay Fair Isaac a fee. Now, I don't know if this is $5, $7, $3, I don't know what it is, but it is enough that in order to try to dupe consumers and save this fee, the credit bureaus made up their own credit score. And now where in some cases their credit scores are close to Fair Isaac's FICO, they are not the same. And there is not a lender on the planet that will accept the FICO score or the credit scores, the FICO scores that the bureaus have made up. They don't have the technology behind it. They don't have the statistical data. You know, Fair Isaac spent a ton of money and a ton of time researching and building their scoring models. And then Equifax and TransUnion Experian kind of threw together their scoring models. They call these the Vantage score, the Advanced score, all these crazy names. At the end of the day, it's a FICO score, and you want the FICO score. So when you sign up for these score watch things and these free credit reports and all this stuff, they're going to give you the cheap score that they can provide internally for free, not the FICO score. So what will happen is you may pull up your score and say, oh, I have an 800 score. This is great. And then you call a lender, you know, to get a credit card to buy a car, or to buy a house, and they tell you your credit score is 680. And you're like, well, no, I just looked online and my credit score is 800. Well, you're looking at two totally different scoring models that may be slightly correlated in some instances, but we see other instances where they're drastically apart. So most of the credit bureaus do have an option where you can buy the FICO score for $15 or $20 extra. You know, or you can just go straight to myfico.com, which is owned by Fair Isaac. So what Fair Isaac did is they said, well, let's go the other way. Instead of us selling you our scoring model and then you selling it to consumers, we're going to go straight to consumers and we're going to sell them our credit score and then we're going to buy credit data from you guys, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian. So if you go to myfico.com, you get to deal directly with Fair Isaac, the company that developed and owns the technology behind the FICO score, the score used by all lenders. And then you end up basically paying them less because they're going to go buy the cheaper data from the credit bureaus and then give you their proprietary score technology at a discount. So I found that the most economical and best way to do this is by going straight to the source, which is myfico.com. And they've also got some great resources on there when it comes to, you know, how to increase your score, how to read the score, how to interpret the score. Because again, these are the guys that invented the credit score. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that know what goes into it. They're the ones, you know, even Equifax and TransUnion, the credit bureaus, they don't know 100% what goes into a credit score because Fair Isaac won't tell them, because that's Fair Isaac's proprietary technology. So the only way to get that true information is at the source, and that's myfico.com. And again, I think it's a great resource if you're at all concerned about your credit or conscious of your credit or interested in correcting your credit. That's the website to go to so you can get the real score instead of wasting a lot of time building up a score that no lender is going to use.
So just to clarify, keep constant track of your balances throughout the month. Make sure you pay the account off before the statement date, not after. And as Robert explained, if you pay after you get the paper statement in the mail, well, the credit bureau has already noted your balance. If you stop getting statements in the mail and you handle everything online, search the site or even make a phone call to find out the actual statement date. And as we've noted in past shows, the only score you really need to know is the FICO score. You know, we were talking about credit and credit repair early in the show, and you heard Robert refer to the fact that sometimes there's erroneous information in your credit file because there's somebody else with the same name. You know that all too well, Robert.
So this Robert Palmer in New York or whatever, in the early 80s when I was very, very young, too young to obviously be involved, he perpetrated this big Ponzi scheme. And so what happened is because, you know, RP Funding is a lender, in the early days, you know, we have to go through this approval process.
Right.
And so when we go to get approved to securitize loans through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or Ginny Mae, they put us through like a 2-year audit process. I mean, it is intense. They look through our financials with a fine-tooth comb. They come do on-site visits. They interview employees. They make us take them step by step, department to department to department, because they want to make sure that we're good at what we do and we're legit and that we're taking care of our consumers and that we do all the things we say we're going to do and that we're a good, reputable company. Because, you know, once we get that approval, I can securitize billions of dollars worth of loans that the taxpayers are then on the hook with. So they come in and they really do all this. And one of the things they pull is like it's a financial background report. And so it's not just looking for criminal, it's also looking for news headlines and all these other things. And it's through LexisNexis, one of the big data providers. Mm-hmm. And so this Ponzi scheme that was perpetrated when I was 4 years old kept showing up. And again, luckily, there was such an age difference that I would simply write back and say, well, when he was convicted of this Ponzi scheme in 1983, I was 4 years old. So I clearly had no part in it. And everyone would be like, okay, cool, yeah. So yeah, so there can be issues with same names.
Yeah.
And so, but see, the thing is, for this system, I think this was through the MARI system, M-A-R-I. It's a mortgage fraud reporting system that they run your name through. And it pulls like magazine articles and all kind of things with the name. Like, it's pretty intense. But there's no dispute process. Like, I couldn't go to the database and say, hey, this clearly is not me. Update your records. I had to re-explain it every single time. So I had to give the same letter to Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Wells Fargo, Chase, Texas Capital Bank, like all these companies that we do business with, every single time I had to explain this away. So luckily for consumers, you don't have to do this. There's this dispute process. And they've tried to make it as easy as possible for people to take advantage of the dispute process. And we're going to talk about how companies out there try to misuse the dispute process. And you can misuse the dispute process on your own. You don't have to pay a company. And so the idea is the dispute is each bureau. At first, they had to set up an address, right? Because we weren't quite so high tech. And so they didn't want to deal with phone calls. You know, they didn't want everybody and their brother calling in to say, oh, this isn't mine. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to deal with faxes because that would probably get expensive. So in order to support the United States Postal Service in the beginning, in order to dispute something, you had to mail a letter, right, disputing it, telling them why you thought it wasn't yours. And you had to mail that letter to a P.O. box at each of the three credit bureaus. And you can find those addresses online pretty easily. Experian.com, Equifax.com, TransUnion.com. Those are the three credit bureaus. So remember, FICO calculates the score. That's Fair Isaac. Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, they gather, collect, and hold the data. So when we're talking about a dispute, we're trying to dispute something out of our data file. We're trying to say, hey, this is not me. Take it out of my data file. I am disputing the relevance or the accuracy or that it's mine or whatever. Please take it out of my data file. And then once it's removed from your data file, the next time they score your file against against FICO, against Fair Isaac, the score will be better in theory because that negative thing is gone, okay? So the idea is you send a letter. And in that letter, you should describe why you think the account is not yours. Now, here's what I will tell you. I do not believe that what you put in that letter really matters in any way, all right? Now, if you have hardcore proof, right? If you have, say you paid something, and you put the proof in there, all you're really doing is making their job easier. They're going to fix it regardless. And so for a while, there were these rumors running around that someone had written the magic letter and that they had figured out just the right series of words to trick the person reviewing the file at Equifax or TransUnion Experian to delete something that should not be deleted. And I mean, if you just think about the theory behind this, so you send someone a letter and they're reading it, and then maybe they go into some kind of hypnotic trance because of the words you've written. And then their finger, without them realizing it, runs over and hits the delete button in the database before they come back to their senses and realize that that you really did have that tax lien and it's too late now because your letter hypnotized them and they deleted it anyway. So I don't think it really matters what the letter says. All right. The key is that you are starting the dispute process. And so what happens at this point is you send the dispute letter to Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, and now they send another communication to the actual creditor, right? So let's say I'm disputing a charge-off credit card from Next Bank. I think they used to exist. I don't know. So I'm disputing this. I send my letter to Equifax, TransUnion, Experian. They turn around and they send a letter to the Next Bank and say, hey, Robert Palmer says this is not his account, says he never had an account with you, whatever I said, and it really doesn't matter what I said, they're going to respond in the same way. And so now they're going to pull up their records, and they're going to try to report back and prove that, well, yes, I did have the account. Now, what I will tell you is these companies are not perfect, right? And so while things have to stay on your credit that are reported for 7 to 10 years, that doesn't mean that these banks and credit companies necessarily do a very good job of keeping their records. Mm-hmm. So they may not have the records to go back that far. And so if they don't have the records, if they can't substantiate the debt at that moment, it has to be removed. So again, regardless of what your letter says, they will either be able to substantiate the claim, the thing they reported to your credit, or not. It really doesn't matter what you put in the letter. They have to substantiate everything about that debt.
Thank you, Robert. That brings us to the end of the show, but there's more empowering information at the website I keep mentioning, savingthousands.com. And you can also hear full versions of this, the Saving Thousands radio show, by accessing Robert's exclusive station on the iHeartRadio app. Simply go to iHeart, open up the search engine, and put in the words Robert Palmer. You know, with all of these tools, We're all bound to save thousands with Robert Palmer.